Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
Y'all really like each other.
Ooh, I love that. I love that ugly ass, man.
Why?
Why black people can't
because,
get along,
like,
man?
I mean, y'all had like a show or something.
Right, but show?
He fell in the trap with the media.
Oh, what you mean?
You fell in the trap with the media. Talking about we was friends clash. Outside of football.
Everybody thought.
No, I didn't think y'all was going to clash. I thought y'all relationship was fake. You know, like y'all had the show. Yeah, like I just thought y'all was just trying to. You know, built the brands. Y'all had the show. Y'all going back and forth from the show.
Nah,
but y'all really like each other.
Yeah, he cool. He look ugly, little, but he cool.
I'm the best looking one out of both of them. But I mean, you know, we both dark skinned. That's the only thing we got in common. That's it.
He got a face for radio. That's what that is. That's a face for radio.
But that one too much personality?
That sounds good.
Both of y'all in the same locker room, that one too much?
Nah. I'm chilling.
Nah.
Man,
come on.
Hey, he did it.
Here he go with that Jason Whitlock.
You know what?
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wiggin' wheel straight up. But in the past bad, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
T.O. I called him a distraction early in the season.
If I'm one, then that motherfucker won too then.
No. I want to ask you.
Perception is not reality for everybody. You know
what y'all did was not a distraction to the team you own.
What did we do that was a distraction?
The antics.
What antics?
The extra.
Your antics
you're
talking
about,
bad.
You're talking about touchdown celebration? Is that what you're considering antics?
Yes, all of that. So look, what you did.
They just tried to take that away some years ago.
That you got Juju Smith just a couple weeks ago, tried to do the same thing you did, try to dance
on the star.
You see that?
That's trend setting.
That's trend setting?
Yeah. That's trend setting. That's but you saw that everything that we did, well, they were dancing and they were celebrating before we even got in the league. So what me and Chad did, like, we just had more fun than everybody else.
100%.
Did y'all ever call each other? Hey, I got this week.
No.
What you got?
No, nah. It was just based. I mean, I watched him from afar, and I'm sure
y'all
he did
try
the same.
To outdo each other.
No, I was always, I'm my own man. I always tried to be creative. It was more, I was in competition with myself. So everything that I did, every week, I tried to figure out, okay, what can I do next?
So tell me about this star, because Juju, you know, you can set a good example, you can set a bad example, and to Channing's point, a lot of times I put myself in there, but I'm gonna act like I'm not in this category. I was in this category for different reasons. But, like, from an on-the-field standpoint, you guys were deemed distractions because of that, right? So you got Juju.
Right, but who deemed us a distraction?
The media. Even coaches, though. Coaches, players, like.
That was because whomever we were playing, they couldn't stop us, and we were in the end zone.
Period.
So now.
In it.
We it's a like distraction it because it. Now they're basically compounding on what the media was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't really distracted because every team that I played for, when I was scoring touchdowns, it wasn't a distraction.
Come on, Pastor.
Hold on.
You know what I mean?
They appreciate what you do on the field, but for your head coach to have to answer to what you're doing is something extra on his plate that would not be there if T.O. was not doing what
I had to answer to some of the things that they weren't doing as coaches.
Mm.
If I'm not getting the ball and we losing, guess what? I got to go in that locker room post game and answer, okay, why are we losing?
Talk to him, Pastor.
I can see it.
Yeah, but come on, bro. Come on.
I know Uncle Raj didn't like it.
But that's the thing is, though, everything that I did, bro, there wasn't any rules for it.
Mm.
I didn't mess with the integrity of the game. Mm-mm. Everything I did was fun. I wasn't going out there making obscene gestures. I wasn't flipping nobody off. If you got offended, you're in your own feelings. The only thing I could feel that would maybe straddle the fence a little bit was when I went to the star. But even when I went to the star, that had nothing to do with me taunting the Cowboys. Typically, before they, I guess, revised all the travel arrangements, things of that nature, we used to travel on, like Fridays. So then you go in, you land, you go to the stadium, it's walkthrough. So that's what we did. I'm with the Niners, we go walkthrough. So my coach, you know, every receiver's over here, linebackers, everybody's on that part of the field. So at the end of the walkthrough, we just happen to be as receivers, we just happen to be in the middle of the field. My coach basically was saying, it's a rivalry, Niners, Cowboys. He basically said, look, he said, T, he knew I was the guy. He like, yo, tomorrow and Sunday, show them who's America, show them who, what America's team, what they about to get. He basically said, when you get on that field, you do your thing. He said, they say this is God's country. He said, hey, that hole is in that ceiling for a reason. Show God whose house it is. Mm. That was that's so all Teal, it was.
You raising that star for God?
Yeah. I was giving my respects back to him.
Why you think we play on Sundays?
You don't think God.
For the Lord. For the Lord.
We play for the Lord.
All right, so all right, let me ask you this question.
Ain't that wrong with talking to him?
Trust me, my coach, he's already going on record and saying why I did it. Regardless of what everybody else thought, I know why I did it.
I know just because a coach said that you like said you can do this or just because you did it don't mean it's a good idea.
It was everything is a great idea.
But what made
Here's
it a bad
what I believe.
Idea?
No, I'll say this. This is what I believe. I think you two were ahead of your time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right? Because, no, you know, you said it a couple weeks ago how this is an entertainment business.
It
and
is.
And now the NFL is finally catching up to letting the guys entertain. You guys were ahead of your time. You guys actually set the template. You guys wrote the template out for these guys. You still, like we just said it, Juju Smith is trying to do what you just did. You know, like he just did that. That was what, almost 10 years ago, maybe even longer.
Yeah, it was 02.
Wow, so that's 18 years ago.
02. Maybe
you did that.
Might have been 2000, maybe 20, yeah. Maybe
20 years ago. So for me, you guys were trendsetters. But at the end of the day, like I feel like, and why I agree with Channing, why you guys were distractions on the field was because at that time it was deemed deviant behavior. And that's why I say, you know, you guys were a distraction because people didn't get it then. They told us as NFL players, you put it in, stay in this box.
They didn't have
don't
the,
rock the
they,
boat.
They didn't have
don't
the vision.
Don't be a distraction. Don't give bulletin board material.
They didn't have the vision. It's all about vision. It's all about thinking long term. You know what's bigger? There's a small window of football that we're going to play, a small window that we have to take advantage of. And you know, it's a marketing, it's a branding opportunity. The NFL controls and markets who they want to. And in a sense, we somewhat took that in our own hands.
I think they control a lot of other things. You know, I want to fast forward or come back to today, the current state of the NFL. With what you're talking about, Juju, let's talk about the Steelers and what happened to that organization. The current state of the NFL during the pandemic with the masks, the Steelers organization were fined $250,000 for masks. Coach Tomlin was fined $100,000.
I think Sean Payton.
For mask.
Mm-hmm. Sean
I'm
Payton.
Talking about a $2 mask. What are you guys' thought on, you know, the current state of the NFL and how they're handling the pandemic? Half of the teams.
They trying to make up for that money that they've lost or they're losing. That's what they're doing. You got to think about it.
We got to understand how
That's
serious.
What they're doing.
We got to understand how serious the pandemic is. Obviously, a lot of lives have been lost behind what's going on. So obviously the rules that have been mandated and put in place by the NFL is for a reason because they have to lead by example. People are watching and they have to do everything that's right based on protocols.
100%, you're right. But player goes out on the field, doesn't have a mask on.
Right.
All types of things happening.
Right.
We travel together, we're on the same plane, right. We're on the same bus.
This is crazy, yeah.
And now you're asking a coach to wear a mask? On the field, to me, it's optics. Right. You go in the locker room, is the coach giving a speech with a mask on?
Nope.
So I get, like, for me, if we're going to do it, let's make sure we're doing it because it's not because of the optics. And that's what it feels like.
But it is the optics. Ocho said it a couple weeks ago. They're in it to make money. It's a multi-billion-dollar business.
Absolutely.
You know, they can't, when mandates have been passed down from the government to local government officials, you know, and everything else, obviously the NFL is, you know, in this stratosphere. So if it goes past them and they're not doing what the general public wants to see or how they're viewed as being, you know, out of line, then everybody else think, well, we can get out of line. Yeah. So the NFL, they're going to say, we're the ones that's going to push the envelope and make sure that the general public is seeing what we're doing. And it's okay, because we're influencers. You know, as former players, we're still influencers. And I think the guys that are in there now, you know, in that agenda, they can influence the whole entire country. The better we are as a country by following these guidelines, the quicker we, you know, get this thing to a minimum.
And
you
think NFL has set the standard, right? And then college follows and high school follows and Pop Warner. Like, NFL set the standard. That's the highest level of football. Honestly, guys, think about it. Like you said, it's 45 guys active per week, right? So there's 90 guys on the field that don't have masks on. Leave it at 90. Why should it be 93 or 96 or 97? They're trying to minimize the threat.
Yeah.
Which, hey, you're a coach. You could talk through that mask. So talk through that mask. Let's make this 90 be 90.
So you're okay with how the NFL is handling COVID-19 right now with coaches on the sideline, support staff on the sideline?
Yes.
But players on the field with no mask.
Yeah.
With the virus that is airborne. So regardless of what you do, there's really no way to stop it regardless.
They're not in such a controlled environment as the NBA. The NBA pretty much tried to set the blueprint, set the stage for what everybody else is doing now. With football, if there are just too many people, too many avenues in which the virus is to spread.
Yeah, but those, I agree.
Those are the risks. You know, my big problem is the fine amount. $250,000.
Come on, right.
Fred, that's peanuts to them dudes.
Right.
$100,000.
To us.
$100,000 for a piece of cloth.
But Fred, them dudes got billions.
Mike Tomlin doesn't have billions.
That money can go into communities, helping kids, urban communities.
I don't get it.
But because I knew, because I got fined a bunch too. I know y'all got fined way more than me, but Shannon, I got fined
Shannon,
too.
Why'd you get fined?
I got fined for personal
hitting people.
Stuff. Late hits. And then the Saturday morning meetings were real tough after them Friday nights, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I'd be late on a Saturday morning because the club was off the chain.
Hold on.
But I was to the understanding, like Tio, like you're saying, that money, that fine money is going to Play 60 and going to the community. But is all this money now, because they making millions off this COVID stuff, is this really going back to the community? Because if it is, right. I agree with it.
Exactly.
If they're trying to fill that gap that they lost on losing these games and losing these ticket sales, course. That's when I got a problem.
I have a question. Speaking of fine money, I was thinking about filing a grievance with the NFL based on them allowing all the showboating and stuff that's allowed now, but they fined the hell out of me for a decade straight for what I was doing back then.
You want them to pay you back?
Yeah, NFL office has track everything. I think I should file a grievance. I need my money back.
This is like Bill Cosby. I think your statutes of limitations closed, bro.
Yeah. If you file, I'm getting on that same.
I think y'all windows.
So how much have you been fined?
Easily over a million, easy. Because yeah, remember I kept doing everything for a decade straight, easy, and didn't stop. And you kept fining me for what everybody is allowing now. They got a celebration camera. How are you gonna have a celebration camera?
Yeah.
They should call it the Ocho camera, huh?
And what year was that they stopped celebrating?
And I still found a way and did everything on the sideline.
Fans got involved. It got everyone's about the no fun league.
Yeah.
Got boring, attendance and stuff went down.
All right, so we talking about celebration, and I mean, you guys really set the bar high. Pioneers in the game. I mean, there's so many people, Icky Shuffle, Deion Sanders came before you guys did some
Billy
stuff.
Billy White Shoes,
all of that. But all right, so we got you here. What was one of those one of those moments you look back, because you had a lot of headlines. So what was one of those moments where you're like, yo, that was dope. Like everything you did, the star to doing push-ups and sit-ups, you know, when you was holding out.
The catch.
I think defining moment, I guess celebration-wise, when I did the Sharpie, when I took the Sharpie off the side. I just did it spur of the moment. Like right before I went out on that series, we had one of our equipment guys, obviously they Sharpie things up. You know, blackout stuff. And so I just happened to just see him pass by and I asked him if he had a Sharpie. And he was like, yeah. So he gave it to me. So he thought I was going to do something and give it back to him. So I'm like, no, I'm good. Yeah. So he walked off and I just put it in my sock. So when the next series came up, I just felt like I was going to score, make a big play on that series out.
But you got to know you can get fined for that. That's premeditated.
No, I didn't.
You didn't get fined for that?
No, there was nothing against that.
That was a good one. That was
everything
classic.
That happened after our celebrations, obviously, like
they,
I said.
Then they start saying no props.
Right. But up until that point, there was nothing in the rule books, no nothing that said that we couldn't do X, Y, Z. Even going to the middle of the field, there was no rule that said that I couldn't do that. I couldn't run a certain amount of yards. There was nothing. They they start implementing all these rules after, like I said, Chad and I start, like, you know, we start getting really extravagant with it, with celebration. Then you got Joe Horn, he's hiding things.
With the hat, with the phone.
Right. So everybody's tried to just start one-upping each other.
Classic.
And trying to be creative.
And, I mean, you guys are pioneers in this space. One of the things that I truly believe makes this show really good and why people are engaging with what we're doing is because people walk away learning something. You've also had some low moments. We've all had low moments. I want to know, like, what was the, when you say, you know what, this was the lowest for me, or this is one of those moments where I had to, you had to pick yourself up or you had to lean on somebody else, you know? Because you were in this position where the entire world, when you talk about football, it was like T.O. You got T.O., you got Tom Brady. You know, you guys were the biggest stars in football. I mean, that comes with a lot.
Man, I just rolled with the punches, man. I think based on how I was raised, my grandmother raised me, she always, you know, church every Sunday. And I was a big believer in faith, you know what I mean? No matter whatever the situation, obstacle or what have you, I had coaches that were in my corner that knew that, like I said, despite whatever the media were saying or however they tried to slice and dice it or however they tried to portray me, I knew that I hadn't really done anything wrong. In the eyes of maybe the people, the commentators or whatever, maybe they just didn't know who I was as a person. Yeah, that's their job to commentate, analyze, and really kind of dissect, I guess, what was going on without proper information.
Yeah.
So outside of that, I wasn't really doing anything wrong. Everybody was just listening to the information that was obviously being spewed, you know, through media and the number of outlets.
Do you think because how people portrayed you, like you, in my mind, you should have been a first?
Oh, absolutely.
First ballot,
absolutely.
Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
We talk about Hall of Fame all the time. Fred T got some strong opinions about the Hall of Fame. So I want to get your thoughts on the Hall of Fame, you know, and how the media played a role in you not getting in when you should have gotten in.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's criteria. There's the mantra in which the Hall of Fame and the standard in which they live by. I checked all of those boxes, but when it came to me, as far as my first nomination, it's almost like I said, I think Shannon Sharp said it best. They start moving the goal line further and further away when it was my opportunity to obviously be inducted. So they start bringing up all these, I guess, character issues or what have you, locker room distractions, but there really weren't any off the field issues.
Correct.
When you talk about character, I felt like I represented not only my family, but I represented every organization the best that I could. I've never been in any off the field, never been in any run-ins with the law, none of that. But there are guys that
but there are guys
that were nominated, inducted to the Hall of Fame that had a rap sheet way worse than me.
Yeah. So is that broken? Is the Hall of Fame broken?
That's what I want to get into. You mentioned criteria.
Yeah. The flaw. Okay. Yeah, there were some flaws within the process.
I question what the criteria is, but my question to you is frustration. Were you most frustrated about being injured in a Super Bowl in Jacksonville? I think that was 2004. Or how the Hall of Fame process
took place?
No, it was
more, I would definitely, hands down, the Hall of Fame process. Because everything, like I said, I was second, third, behind the greatest receiver of all time, and Jerry Rice. So obviously for me to reach all those accomplishments and those achievements, I had no idea that I would do any of that when I left high school, nor when I left UT Chattanooga. So I felt like my body of work, basically it spoke loudly for myself. I didn't really need somebody my teammates to stand on the table for me. My stats, because that's what it's based on, your body of work. And when you're second and third or fourth all time, coming out of a small school, you come in a 96 draft and you have 11 to 12 guys that go before you, then again, like I said, I don't need a representative.
You have any regrets for not speaking in Canton?
None.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, he bitter.
How am I bitter? What have I been bitter about?
Not bitter. I wouldn't even say bitter. Nah. I know that's the wrong word. Yeah. That's the wrong word.
All y'all believe y'all should be in the Hall of Fame.
No.
I mean, I know what it is.
So you're the only one sitting here right now in the Hall of Fame. I ain't up yet, okay? But you've been out 5 years.
I inducted myself.
That's true.
And then him, like he feels some type of way about the committee.
Didn't I induct myself?
We've been through this.
No, I don't. Well, we've been through what?
I never said I was bitter. I don't think anybody knows that was
a wrong choice of words by me. But you feel some type of way.
When I look at the guys that are in there, at the point in which I retire, I retired 15th all time on the list. My numbers was better than 16 of the guys that was already currently in the Hall of Fame. What's the problem? Right. You look at the guys that are in the Hall of Fame from a defensive standpoint. Ray Lewis, Derrick Brooks. Look at Ed Reed. Look at Champ Bailey. Look at all these other guys. They're trying to put in the Hall of Fame that somehow make it to the finalist room. Look at John Lynch. These the same dudes that I've murked every Sunday. Ooh. So what's the problem? I don't care. They can hear it. It's right here. They know what it is. Sunday.
What's the problem?
Come on, Fred.
Here we go. Now, for real.
Okay. What's the problem?
A little bitter.
I'm not bitter. It might be sweet, but it ain't bitter.
But I say that. I use the wrong words, but this is, we can talk about whatever we want to talk about. You felt like the process was wrong. You feel like the process is wrong. He feel like...
We don't need validation from the crew.
Christians.
When it came to T.O., I think the process, first ballot was written all over the sheet.
I told you. Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question. Written. Before you say anything, who does the voting?
Media.
That's the question.
Football writers.
Who does the voting? Writers,
the media, not the players.
Is it the people we played against?
No.
Is it the coaches that had to stop us on Sunday?
No.
Nah.
So who in the fuck is validating the people doing the voting, actually voting who's allowed in the goddamn hall?
So wait, the question. Are you a Hall of Famer? Should you be in the Hall of Fame?
Didn't I induct myself? Did I induct myself or not? Answer the question.
You did.
Answer the question.
Yes.
Wait. Don't say nothing. Let me finish. Damn it. Why did I induct myself? Because I don't want to play what?
Let me answer the question.
Because I don't want to play what?
Because it was a celebration.
Don't do that.
You inducted.
Don't do that. Because I don't. It starts with a P. I don't want to be
politics.
I don't want to play politics. If I wanted to, I would have been a politician, bitch. Okay.
So it wasn't for the cameras. Wasn't for ESPN.
No.
Another celebration.
What did I tell you? When I caught that touchdown against the Ravens Monday or Sunday night, I had just crossed the 10,000 mark, and for me, I felt I was worthy of the Hall of Fame without having to play politics with the motherfucker.
Hall of Famer, you in there? You in that committee? I don't know what y'all be doing.
No, I'm not in.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think it's
a Hall of Famer?
Why are you asking him?
Because he's in there.
I'm better than that, man.
There we go.
That's not it. That's not even tape worthy. Don't even waste y'all tape on that conversation.
Hold on.
Thank you so much.
What do we got, Chef?
I have gumbo for you. For you, I have salmon and collard greens because you're on a special diet.
I got a race coming up, so I got a race.
You got a race.
Yeah, I got to stay lean and mean. You got a race. I got to make sure my engine is ready.
Wait, who you racing?
Hold on, Tyler. So, Chef, you going to feed him salmon and spinach or greens, and you gonna give me all the stuff that's gonna slow me down?
This is a pun request.
So we got gumbo here.
He's a special guest.
We got gumbo?
And he has special dietary restrictions.
Oh, but I ain't know we can put in requests like that.
Well, why y'all still be eating on a diet and all that? Why y'all doing this?
I don't know why they was on a diet in the first place to begin with. Like,
who says something about a diet?
Chef, can you tell these boys why it's important for them to take care of themselves and eat right, even when you're not playing?
This is called preservation of my sexiness.
You may not know anything about that.
You may be light skinned, but light skin is long gone.
Yo, you see this long, beautiful hair?
Well, you look like Millie Vanilli sitting over there.
Boy, these thick shoulder, boy.
You look like Millie Vanilli.
Millie Vanilli.
All right, so Chef, talk to us about what we're eating. You know, we already see that T.O. got special privileges like he always has in the NFL. But talk to us a little bit about your inspiration behind this dish, what we're eating, et cetera.
Well, this is New Orleans-inspired seafood gumbo. No meat. It has shrimp, crawfish, and okra.
Okra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You like it?
Pray God.
How is it, Fred?
It's good.
Oh, hallelujah.
Good. I got some seasonings coming out, and I have some secret seasoning that I put in there. But when it comes out, you could
buy. You got some secret sauce?
Yep.
Okay.
Chef Nancy, who's cuter, Ocho or T.O.?
Don't lie. Don't lie to him. I know he's funny looking. Look at his face. Look at his head.
Why you put me on the spot like that?
He not even symmetrically even.
Symmetrically. He lopsided.
Lopsided.
What's the word for that then? If I'm not symmetrically, what's the word for it then? What's the word then? If I'm not symmetrical, what am I? What am I then?
Except they look the same to me. They both dark skin and bald head.
Yeah.
Zip, come on.
We know who's saying you want me to come up out this show?
Well, we already have a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're trying to preserve your relationship? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, what y'all be doing after the show, man?
But you guys are both very nice, dark chocolate, handsome.
Dark chocolate. Come on, Nacho.
You milk chocolate. He's milk chocolate.
Hey, I'm caramel.
No, wait. He's white chocolate. He's milk chocolate. He's white chocolate.
T.O. called him Millie Vanilla.
He's white chocolate.
I don't be mad about this pretty now. Everybody can't do this.
You know what that is? That's Tracy Chapman.
Oh, so you gonna get on me with that little bean head.
Oh, yeah. That Tracy Chapman.
Mama, you got 58 teeth in your mouth. Want to get on me?
All right, Chef, you got to pick before you go.
But it's already obvious. Yeah. When you have to put diamonds on to enhance your looks, that says
it
all right there.
Wait, I can take this off. What you saying?
No, I'm just saying. It's already on right now.
I can take it off.
It's good. It's good. You definitely going to lose. You just lost.
Look at him and look at me. Like, it's not a hard decision. It's like going to Toys R Us.
Toys R Us is closed.
It is.
And tricks are for kids.
Oh, boy.
You are both too handsome.
What you not going to do is sit here and lie to me, Chef. That nigga ugly. He funny looking. I'm trying to figure out why I got to go around the room.
You're getting your answer right there. If you got to go around the room.
Chef, appreciate you. And this gumbo is amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. It don't matter how we look because all our relationship fail. How about that?
Who? I got one relationship, and that's all I need. That's with God. You need to get right.
No, bro, why you not married? We talked about marriage.
Oh, you missed that episode. You should have been here.
Yeah. Why you not married right now?
I haven't found anyone yet.
What you mean? You 55 years old. What?
Is that right?
He's running. He's running.
Hey.
He running?
He running. He got to be running.
Yeah, you got to wait on God's timing. You know what I mean?
What you looking for,
bro?
I'm not looking ideally to just jump into a relationship.
Talking to your camera.
Where my camera at?
Yeah, yourself.
No,
yourself.
I mean, serious business, though. I'm looking for a friend to establish a foundation as a friend. And then if it organically transitions into something more, then I'm open to that. But I'm not trying to jump into a relationship or have someone get in a relationship with me and manipulate me or pressure me into a relationship.
You think you got trust issues? Because, like,
I mean, we've all had trust issues.
But how old
is
you? 56?
Yeah. Minus 10. Minus 10.
So you're 56. Like, you don't think there's a time, like a clock on there?
Oh,
like,
yeah, no doubt.
So, my question is it you? Because
Some issues. Yeah, I think most of my issues stem from communication.
What you mean?
Growing up, like I said, in a household, grandmother not really being able to really associate, communicate with people in social environments. That not only hindered me, not only in my professional, but in my personal life as well.
Yeah.
So I was sort of similar, I guess, a product of my environment. When you just not able to talk or whatever, my grandma was strict, bro. Yeah. We can do nothing. Couldn't go out the yard. Nobody can come in our yard. I had no sleepovers, no none of that.
So you're not very sociable.
I'm better.
Better now, yeah.
But I'm social.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At times.
Like I said, I'm selective as far as who I'm around. Like, everybody has their boys or whatever. So when I started to become, I guess, T.O. in a sense, and reporters started like, okay, well, who is this kid, this shy kid? I'm yes, sir, no, sir. Starting to come out of my shell a little bit. And then they start asking, you know, my teammates, okay, about me. But I didn't communicate with all my teammates. So there were reports like, oh, well, he's aloof. He's quiet. He doesn't do this.
Yeah.
So that's where the perception started to come about. Like, oh, okay, well, he doesn't get along with his teammates. Just because I don't really hang out or communicate with you on a regular, everyday basis, that doesn't mean that I'm not a good teammate.
Yeah.
He put his shoes on fast.
Yeah, that's right. But I was over a lot of people's heads.
T.O., you said something. When you went to T.O., like when it became them two letters, everybody knew it was you. Did you have to change?
No, I mean, how I am on the field, I'm totally opposite off the field. I equate myself and I look back and I reflect on my career. If you think about like the superheroes, that's kind of how I was. When you think about Superman, who is it? It's Clark Kent Superman.
Spider-Man, you got Peter-Man, Spider-Man. Hulk, you got David Banner, you got Incredible Hulk. So for me, when you think about the T.O., that's like my superhero type of figure. But Terrell Owens, that's who I am off the field. I'm chill, I'm reserved. A lot of people I've taken off, even going into meetings, they're taken back because they expect the flamboyant, that guy that they saw on the football field. They expect that guy to walk into a meeting room or in a club, be center of attention. That's not me. Me and Chad, we're polar opposites. Chad is like that 24/7. So what you saw on the football field, you see that off the field with him. Me, I'm totally different vibe. I have my moments. You know what I mean? I'm sort of like an extroverted introvert. When I'm cool, I'm comfortable with my people and my surroundings. That's when I interact and I'm myself. But I don't just easily gravitate and just, you know, being the social butterfly that everybody thinks that I am.
Oh, what about that night? What about that night at Tootsie's with them chicks in the private room?
Oh, you know,
remember?
Boy, we, but yeah.
Boy, that T.O. with Terrell.
Oh man, that was T.O. right there. Hey, Terrell walked to the door.
And T.O. jumped out.
Oh man.
Oh man, we had some good days.
All right, so what T.O. I'm getting, man? Like, bro, you've been doing a lot of talking. And you gave me the alley-oop. Yeah. You know, I called you out and you felt like you can still beat me in a race. So who am I getting? Am I getting Terrell on that field when we line up, or am I getting T.O.?
Oh, you're gonna get T.O., no doubt.
You really think you can beat me?
No,
bro,
I know
you're 10 years older than me.
What does that mean?
That means a lot. More wear and tear on the body.
And
he told me inside scoop, you just had a knee procedure.
Yeah, and still going to get you. And still going to get
you. Feel
that good, man. When you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member, you'll know a thing or two about an expertly packed capsule wardrobe that balances business and leisure. So you can go from conference sleek to cocktail party chic with a few new accessories. You can hustle from 9 to 5 before exploring with ease from 5 to 9. Because you're the chief excursion officer. The Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card. If you travel, you know. Learn more at go.amex/business.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had. Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves. Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8, start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT. Savory breakfast burrito or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I feel great.
Energy.
I was on the track before I came over here.
I believe him.
Oh,
who you? So you believe him? You think he gonna get me?
55-50.
Hey, boy,
this
you took the word.
This is 55.
You told, boy,
this
you took 55. The word right out of my mouth,
my
boy.
My bad, boy. 55-50.
Who you got, Shannon? Who you got?
55-50. I got it.
Wait a minute. Whoa. One important thing that we didn't mention. If you guys are the race, what are we talking about? 40, 50, 60.
We said 60. That's only to my advantage.
Who you got? That ain't just your advantage.
That ain't your advantage.
400.
He stepped in my wheelhouse when he said 60.
You a long distance runner.
Because anybody know me, I'm the further I go, the faster I get.
That's right. So 60. That's what I'm saying. Like if we went 100, then I'll get, you know, because I ain't got that type of condition. I'll be honest with you.
I'm gonna pull it out like this. Just going back watching you guys' game film. Both you guys are great. Obviously, he's a Hall of Famer. I've seen your numbers over 12,000 yards, 15,000 yards. T.O. was more explosive than you.
Ooh.
In a box.
In what way?
In a box.
In what way? T.O.,
if both of y'all catch a hitch, and you get it, hold up.
Oh, you know I'm
getting an opportunity.
Go ahead.
No, forget it. If both of y'all catch a three, if you catch a quick slant.
No, yep.
I'm going to quick slant.
Oh, now he want to go to quick slant.
Yeah,
I'm going
to go to quick slant. Mm-hmm. So if you catch a quick slant, T.O. going to catch the ball, pop, pop. You're going to see him. You're going to see the distance. He's going to pull away from his defender.
We seen that again, Champ. Remember that? Remember that hitch route that night?
If you catch a quick slant, you're going to stiff arm your guy, and then you're going to get tackled by the safety.
He's a glorified tight end.
T.O. can take his. T.O. probably going to take his.
I was waiting to see where you went with that.
I'm just
because
saying.
Out of both of these boys.
Bro, you was a beast, bro.
Yes.
What he's saying is like, you're like an 18-wheeler. You know, you got to get to your gear.
You long, man. You're stride.
I'm a high-performance vehicle. As soon as I get that rock, I'm up out of there.
You up out
you
of
got,
there.
You got to down. You got to do
I,
all
listen,
your
listen, I will say this. In your prime, you was faster than me. 100%. I'll give you that. But now, see, where you went wrong is, bro, like, you're 46.
What does that mean?
Is it, how old are you for real?
They said that when I was 37, and they said I was over the hill. First of all, not my boy, when I went to Cincinnati, I outplayed Chad. And he'd been with a quarterback for 10 years.
Yeah, you talking?
That is true. That is, bro, he did.
I went to Buffalo. They had Lee Evans. Lee Evans way younger than me. I outplayed him in the second half of the season.
Yeah, but I saw you race against the cheetah, and this is what I believe. You can't get out faster than me.
No. First of all.
And here's the thing. So we talking about how much we betting?
Now you got amnesia? Now you got amnesia. America, you know, I saved the footage.
Yeah.
America.
How much he say?
How much we talking?
He said 100,000.
100 racks.
Ooh.
He said 100.
In the 60? You might want to shorten it down to a 40. For 100?
For 100?
Yeah.
He old, bro.
Ooh. Old Ferrari's still an old Ferrari, T.O.
No, ain't no old Ferrari. T.O. just had knee surgery.
I still get out.
No, no way.
What do you mean? I had knee surgery last year.
Here's the reality. Okay?
Were you scared?
I'm doing a lot on TV. I'm doing a lot on I Am Athlete. I need another month.
We were supposed to race
November. I like that. Christmas Day. Can we do Christmas Day?
The date has been set.
Who? I wanted you to come on this show so we can sell.
I'm telling you guys.
Sign the contract. I'm cool with the 100,000. I want to go 50. I'm gonna be honest with you. I humbly would like to do 50,000.
Now he humble.
Yeah. Humbly would like to do 50,000. Asked him in a DM. Me and him back, so he get out on social media, right? So I'm pumping out. I'm feeling good about myself. I walk in the facility. I'm on a treadmill running. You know, Ocho been running a treadmill for 10 years. So I start running on the treadmill. I'm feeling good about myself. So I jump off. They got the camera in my face. 100,000. 100,000. I'm pumping it up. I'm thinking like this is like a boxing match. Like we're going to pump it up. We're going to get people to tune in. And we're going to make a little bit of money with sponsorships, get a lot of people watching. And I'm like, okay, but on the back end, me and T.O. gonna have a thing going on. I DM this boy because one day he talking about, yeah, B. Marsh said 100,000. He can't beat me 100,000. So I said, T.O., like, we good, right? Like, I'm like, hey, all right, like,
mumbly,
I ain't good.
You went to a mumbly?
Yeah, he like, no, 100,000 to 100,000 is what you said. And I went back and forth with him, and I'm trying to get him down to 50.
I told him you got 50. You need 50 to back out.
Yeah, that's what he want me to do. He want me to pay 50 to back out.
You need 50 to back out.
But here's what I'm looking at. I'm fine with the 100 though.
You gonna win?
Yeah, I'm
so
fine.
So the number shouldn't mean nothing.
I'm fine with the 100. I'm fine with the 100, but I need, humbly ask you, can I get another month?
Why would you need another month? You started before I did.
I pulled my hamstring.
Oh, that ain't that my problem. I ain't got nothing to do with that.
So how long you been retired?
Since 9 years.
How long you been retired?
Couple years.
Y'all still got that competitiveness in y'all. Y'all ain't never gonna go nowhere.
They ain't lost
nothing.
Hey, bro.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
They ain't lost nothing.
You believe you can play in the league still? Because these boys think they can still play in the league.
No doubt.
I know I can.
The way the game is played, bro. Trust me. If you keep yourself right, you can't judge me based on how your body feels.
I don't know. I'm saying. I'm asking this. If y'all can play in the NFL, if y'all can help an NFL team, why are y'all not helping the NFL?
Politics.
Team?
You know what it is.
Politics. It's the same. I ain't wrong. You hit me with that Whitlock. Okay, don't hit me with that Whitlock.
Okay, it's the same reason Colin Kaepernick ain't in the league. You trying to say he's not better than what's in there in the league right now?
No. The Colin Kaepernick team, I tell you, y'all don't want to admit it. The distraction of Colin Kaepernick is why he's not in the league.
That's true.
That's it. That's the only reason, too. And I'm telling you, bro, he's one of the best 32 coaches. Not 64. I'm not talking about backup team. I'm talking about he should be starting on an NFL team.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys right now. What's the boy's name? DiNucci, whatever his name is. That boy can't play no football.
So, Gilbert. So something Gilbert.
Being black, Gilbert, whatever.
They have them dude, bro. But
why? Being black is a distraction then because he brought awareness to something that we're dealing with today.
That's a whole nother episode.
Exactly.
And now the NBA has Black Lives Matters on the court. We have stuff on the helmet. And he brought attention to that. But he's not on the team. But right. He can still play. Why are y'all not on the team? Because y'all didn't do what Colin did.
Right, because they said we were a distraction.
Hold on. He's not on the team because he's almost 50. You think you still can play? Now, be honest.
If I can beat you, I can play.
Well,
if I can beat you, I can play.
All right, I'm in.
Y'all are crazy.
No.
What do you mean? The thing is, like, yo, if you're asking me right now to go out there and play 60 to 75 snaps, no. But me and my knowledge of the game, understanding how, like I said, it's all about being put in the right position, in the right situation. Right. Just say Andy Reid, for instance. Just say he wants me to come in, work out, whatever the case may be. I know I can play in Andy Reid's system because he's going to put me in the situation, prepare me and put me in a position to win. You think about third down situation. You think about third down situation. You think about red zone. Red zone is 20 yards, bro. You don't think I have enough stamina to get open in 20 yards?
So, all right. So, hold on. So, what happened
but
in Seattle?
But the NFL
what happened
doesn't.
In Seattle? That was your last stop, right?
Bro, I have no idea. I have no idea.
You know what I remember? This is what I remember.
I dropped a bit.
That post.
On, bro, but I was a year and a half removed from surgery. I can't just step in and be like, okay, right back to where I was pre-surgery.
Do you think that was the play that ended your career?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, probably.
You love playing with Russ. How did you like?
No, Russ was. Oh, he was dope. Yeah. When I went up there to work out, they had a bet on what my 40 time was going to be. I'm not going to say who told me or whatever, but there was a bet. There was another guy that they brought in, white kid, right out of college or whatever, and we both ran the 40. I heard that they said that I wouldn't run no better than 4.6.
What'd you run?
I ran 4.45. 4.45. Russ was the one throwing my routes to me. I wasn't even prepared. Honestly, I had a sore hamstring because I was in LA training at the time when they called me. I wasn't even prepared to run a 40.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to go in, run routes, this and that and the other. They said, you got to run a 40. All right, okay, cool.
The thing is, I can look at all of you guys, right? All of you guys, I think, are good enough to play. If Fitz can still play in the NFL,
right.
You guys can still play in the
exactly.
NFL. But the thing is, the NFL is a young man's game. There's going to be way more product and young guy. You're going to be older a lot longer than you're going to be younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the NFL. They bring the young guys in as value plays. They ain't going to pay them nothing. But they base everything on potential. You feel me? If they bring you in, they might get a year or two out of you, but then they wasting room. The most they're going to get out of you is knowledge and experience and somebody pretty much like what UD is to the Heat.
Right.
You feel me?
Yeah.
They going to bring an OG in so you can help the young guys. But some teams don't want to invest in that.
Right. Yeah. And then like
Fitz is a unicorn. He's one of the special guys that your organization, they love the hell out of Fitz in Arizona. So he's the exception. You know, when you have guys that they pin the distraction label or tag on, all three of you for that matter.
Yep.
Theirs was a different way than what yours were. So teams don't want to invest in that. You feel me? So it's not that you guys can't play. I know for a fact all of y'all can play. Because I look
well,
at
I'm
you.
I'm not in this discussion.
No, 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 because you were the one.
T.O. is the only one right now to think he can play.
No, no,
but you were given opportunity to play later on in your career.
Yeah, yeah,
a couple
but
stops.
I was banged up. I was hurt. I was injured.
I know. That's
yeah, early quarantine, what
you
did he
played
say?
Played longer than
he
I
said
did.
He ain't going to play. Yeah.
He said he's going back. You're
he
playing.
Said you're going back,
so
bro.
You are in this discussion.
Like
but the reason why.
But
I haven't been training. If I was training during quarantine and all of that, and if I was in position, I could have. I had a couple teams wanted me to come work out, but I didn't. I couldn't take those workouts because I wasn't trained. Like I'm.
So you were just doing it for the gram?
No, no, I was trying to, but for real, every time I would hit week three, I would pull something, like straight up. I get to week three, something happened. Something happened. But all right. So look, it ain't about forget that. T.O., I broke your record, bro.
No, yeah, you got 21 passes in the game.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So you think your career was better than mine?
Oh, for sure.
You think so? You think you're a better receiver than me?
Yeah. You feel like you can wear that shirt right here with confidence?
No. No.
Okay, well, no then.
Oh, so you think you're the GOAT?
Yeah. I'm one of them.
No, ain't no one of them. A GOAT is the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
One of them.
No, ain't one no one of them. Ain't no GOAT. What is this? We had this conversation about the GOAT.
It's a big pack of GOATs.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them.
No, ain't no one of them. No, who is the GOAT? Who is the GOAT?
Jerry Rice, though. Jerry Rice is the GOAT.
So take the sweater off. Take Deion Sanders' son's shirt off.
This is representation right here.
Hey, you ever seen a GOAT by itself? Huh? You heard me? Have you ever seen a GOAT by itself? And it's always a herd of them, right?
I seen one by himself.
But it is an acronym for greatest of all time.
You didn't answer the question.
I answer what GOAT means.
When you see a GOAT, don't you see it always a group or a herd of GOATs, right?
So who's the GOAT? So who's the GOAT?
It's always going to be a lead GOAT.
Who's the GOAT?
Who's the lead GOAT then?
Jerry Rice is the GOAT.
And where do you fall in the pack of GOATs?
Jerry Rice is one. I'm 1A.
You right behind Jerry.
So then take off. Give me the sweater. I'm going to send that to Jerry Rice. Give me the sweater. Don't be smiling.
it's a lot of courage.
So T.O. right there behind Jerry. Huh? T.O. right behind Jerry.
Yeah.
Why are you not number one? Why are you not the GOAT?
He played 20 years. I played 15.
But why does it matter? Doesn't matter. Why aren't you the GOAT? So you feel like his numbers. Who is the better receiver? Forget numbers. Take numbers out. Who's the best receiver to grace that green grass?
I had to give my respect to Jerry. I had to give my respect to Jerry.
Okay.
Granted, I did some amazing things considering where I came from and what my aspirations and my passion was. Jerry, that's what he grew up wanting to do. This dude, like, he lived and bred wanting to be a receiver. Like, you heard the story. This dude catching bricks, working with his dad.
Yeah.
Like, that's what he wanted to do. That was his goal, was to be who he is now. For me, that was never my goal. I was very competitive.
So give me your top five receivers of all time, and then if you can, give me your top five receivers today.
Ooh, now I say Jerry, me, Randy.
Jerry, you, Randy.
I not because he's sitting here.
Oh Lord, don't.
No,
don't.
Chad. No, Chad.
Don't do that,
people.
T.O.
No, Chad. No, no, you, bro. You have
they
to look at this man's body of work, bro.
They don't understand.
It's disrespectful for what he's done in the league, and him not even getting a nod. Any nomination. You have your Marvin Harrisons. You have those guys like that. But bro, look what Chad could do, did the same thing.
Yeah, look where I was at too.
So give me your top five. Give me your top.
If,
so you saying
Chad
he's four?
Chad played with Peyton Manning all his
what
career. Do you not
so
think
what, is
he could
Chad
have done,
four?
Yeah, tell him.
So you got you.
It's not in any order. I would say top five.
So who's the fifth one?
You got to say my name. Say my name, dog.
I already said
you. Yeah, that's my name.
You trying to say Chad didn't do what Chris Carter did?
No, no, I think Chad is definitely one of the greatest of all time.
I'm just saying, but he's
the greatest entertainer of all time.
Yeah, I think he's one of the greatest,
yeah,
right?
That's like, not a category.
Yeah, I made it one.
Well, ain't nobody worried about that shit.
But I wouldn't put Chad in the top five. I think he did things.
Larry, I say me, Larry. Obviously, Jerry, Randy. Who else?
You gonna forget about Megatron, Jimmy Smith?
Who's the old boy from Tim Brown? Tim Brown was something.
Yeah, Jay Smith. Who? Yeah.
Tim Brown.
No, he's not top five, though. I mean, I know you're going Jacksonville, but.
No, I ain't going Jacksonville. You're looking numbers. Tim Brown.
Right. Yeah.
Jimmy played 10 years.
Like I said, man, I honestly, bro.
I don't want to get into it, but we'll have that conversation another time.
Steve Smith.
Jimmy was better than
I mean,
Steve.
We could be here all day doing this.
Right.
Is it all based on opinion
and what
you like? There's
so many guys that are, like, interchangeable.
Okay, so, all right, last question before we go. Were you upset when I broke your record?
No.
And I broke it twice. Tell me what. Yeah, I broke it twice.
Well, you caught 21 twice?
No, I did. Like, you did 18, right? Like, what was your record?
No, 20. Okay. No, the record was 18 by Tom Fears. I had no idea. That was a 50-year-old record that I broke.
So what was going through your mind when you just saw me? 17,
you know
18,
what?
19,
no, I didn't see it. I just 21. I just saw the highlights.
Yeah.
They made more of a presentation and I guess made it a point to highlight yours more so than they did mine. And mine was I broke a 50-year-old record.
Yeah.
You did it in a short amount of time. But when I did it, it wasn't as celebrated as such.
Let me tell you, here's the secret. I was hot one time. I don't know why I was in Ohio. And I said, you know what? Let me stop by Pro Football Hall of Fame. Let me go to Canton. I want to see my jersey hanging up there. Because what happens is, when you have a real good game and you guys notice, they'll run up to you, you break a record or something, they'll run up to you.
They'll get your jersey.
Hey, can I get that jersey? Can I get those gloves? Can I get that everything you're wearing? So after that game, boom, everybody came to me. League officials came to me. Can we get everything? 100%, and they told me, I was like, first of all, I was hit the game because here's the game, young fellas. The league have these merchandise deals. So every time we take off our jerseys and we put it in the bin, they're taking those jerseys out, putting them in a bag, and then they're selling them. So when I realized that, I was like, no, I'm keeping my jerseys. Mm. So then they came to me, and they had to explain to me why they wanted my jersey. They said, look, we're going to put this in Canton.
This is
going to be right there. So a couple years ago, actually, I was going to the player symposium, NFL player symposium, new draftees. So I was like, let me go drive to Canton and get the driver take me to Canton, Ohio. I'm going to see my jersey. They took my stuff. They took everything, the whole uniform, my socks, my jock, everything. So I'm walking around like, dang, looking at everything. I'm like, can't wait to see my jersey. Can't wait to see it. And I'm walking around, and then I get to NFL record, you know, most catches in the game. And it was your jersey, bro. I went to them people. I knocked on the door, the back door. I said, where my jersey at? They said, Brandon, it's on the road. I said, no, y'all send me my jersey right now, bro. I was so hot. They had your jersey up for 18, for
20.
Yeah, for 20.
20 catches, yeah.
I broke the record. They got T.O. hanging up in Canton. I called my agent. I said, Kennard, call Canton right now. Tell them to send my stuff back, bro. I felt like that was real disrespectful.
Well, they've disrespected a lot of people.
Bigger name.
You see how they have control over you, man? You see that? That feeling? See how that anger? See that anger? I will never get in the satisfaction of being able to control me how they just control you just
right.
Like that.
He got
That's
something,
embarrassing.
B. He right. got something, B.
Did you,
hey,
did you
he
see
got
that?
Something, B.
It's respect. They got nothing to do with T.O. They took my jersey off my back. That could be hanging up in my house.
Right.
They got my jersey in the back folded up. They got T.O.'s there.
You change your travel plans to go see 100%. A jersey that they put up. 100%. And once you didn't see your jersey, you got in your emotions.
100%.
They have 100%.
So where is your jersey now?
Where's my jersey?
That Chad talking about.
Where's your jersey now?
Bingo. Is it up? I don't know.
Did you get
it? It might be still in the back.
I would have demanded it if I were you. But the same feeling that you just had, you said disrespected. That's how he feels about his nod or non-nod of getting in the Hall of Fame. Well, that's what I felt when I didn't get nominated the first go-around or the second round.
Correct.
So I was cool going. Granted, politics, whatever, I shoved that to the side. Okay, I didn't make it the first year. Second year rolls around. I'm in Houston. I'm like, okay, I'm for sure a shoe-in. That didn't happen. After that, bro, I was done.
Yeah.
Because now it's disrespect. So that's how he feels.
Well,
it's reason behind all of it, fellas.
Told you.
But hey, man, like I said, I did
it's
my way, man. I don't regret it.
It's a reason
it.
Like...
Hey, I'm cool with... Listen, I would say this. My goal... This is the first time I ever said this. My goal was to finish top top five in every single receiving category outside of touchdowns. Once I realized how important touchdowns was, then I start focusing on it. And then I start averaging 10 touchdowns a year. But it was too late to catch those. But I think you had like 140 or 53. Something. 100, yeah.
Total, 153.
153.
But the thing is, that's the difference between you and guys like Jerry. Like, that was your goal. That was your passion. I never had that, bro. I was just learning how to play the receiver position, and then things just started to unfold. Like you said, I'm a very competitive person. You pushed me to the point like I started to realize I was a realist. I wasn't as good as everybody around me. The receivers that was in camp with me, I played with, around the league, bro, I realized I wasn't as good as they were. Yeah. So every offseason, bro, I made it a point to work on every little aspect of my game and then listen to my coaches.
For me, it was all about the chase, and it was all about goal setting. It's the same thing I do in business now, same thing I do outside of football. I got goals. But for me, when I realized, like, oh, I saw those boys talking about Hall of Fame, giving their Hall of Fame speech when we're sitting in camp, and I see those guys, you know, when they come to you after a game and say, hey, can I have this uniform because we're going to put it in Canton? You just broke a record. Like, you start thinking about those things. So for me, I was like, okay, then my goal is I thought that for me, I could be top five in everything outside of touchdowns. And I came up short, right? Because of my injuries at the end, and it just didn't end the way I wanted to end. But that was my goal, was to finish top five in everything.
And I remember this years ago, came to the crib somewhere, and we were talking. I said, B, you going to hang it up? You said, I'm 17 touchdowns away from this. I'm this many yards away from 10,000. Yeah. You had the numbers in your head, which was crazy to me. Mm-hmm. Y'all didn't have those numbers in y'all head.
Never.
You never knew how far you were behind Jerry or how far you were in front of
him.
Never.
They lied. Yeah, they did.
No, I didn't.
He did.
I promise you I didn't. Everything that the knowledge that I have about my stats or whatever the case may be, it is now because of social media, because they're going to make you aware of what you've done. Like, now this is the good part, to just sit back and just kind of just
marvel at what you've done. That's what drove me every single year. I would take the top 10 wide receivers in the league that year, and I would study them. Yeah. I would study all these boys. And that's why, if you look at when I was in the league, and we can end the show after this, when I was in the league, my numbers was better than them.
You was all right.
Huh?
You was all right.
Yeah, bro.
When?
Yeah. What are you talking about? My run?
You was all right.
Your prime?
You look at
how many catches, how many touchdowns, how many yards per year?
You got them.
Got them.
Yeah, I caught 5 balls a game. He was catching 21.
What does that mean?
What do you mean? What it mean? That's all. I'm just
putting it out.
That doesn't mean anything.
Probably.
That doesn't mean
I'm just putting it out there.
Maybe to you.
It makes you feel good.
Right. That makes you feel good.
I'm just saying.
Right, you was a looter in the ride.
What set me apart from everybody, dude, was my dedication and my discipline, and it was my execution of being consistent. It wasn't just, like I said, I worked out, but everything that people didn't see, for like my nutrition, taking care of my body, that's what prolonged my career.
Yeah,
that was the longevity.
We saw you in the pool with the bands.
Yeah,
all of that.
But that was part.
Innovative. We saw all of that. We were still in all of that.
Teal, you never try to convince Ocho not to eat McDonald's?
Oh, yeah, I talked to him. Yeah. That, it's just, hey, man.
Man, don't believe that.
Hey, his grandmama.
Don't believe all of that.
His grandmama said he hard-headed. His mama said he hard-headed.
Hey, when I came to practice, tell us how we eat McDonald's, man. What's wrong with this?
Every day.
Yeah,
bro,
man.
This dude was so disciplined about getting up early in the morning, being the first at the facility, and going to McDonald's.
Yeah,
if he was that way, if he prioritized his work habits like that, like perfecting being a receiver, bro, you know there's no telling what he could have been done. Bro, this is no lie. I've never seen anybody's feet as quick as his.
Oh, that's facts.
It's two people that I've seen feet so fast. That's him and Terry Glenn.
Yeah.
I've never seen, bro. That's what I'm saying. You know, flat out running, I'll eat him
you'll
up.
You won't beat me, nigga.
Hey,
listen, don't sit here and lie.
I'll eat
get
him
in
up.
The race. Get in the race. Put
he
your
won't
100
do
in.
It.
Put your 100 in.
He
put your 100
it.
In. You know what?
Put your 100
in.
I tell you.
Let me tell
put
you.
Put your 100 in.
I'll put his 100 up and he still won't win.
Stop playing me, man.
What you say, 200?
Hey, I'll put his 100 up and he still won't win.
He said 200. I'm in.
No, he won't do that.
Make it 200. What? Yeah,
he won't.
I'm
he ain't going
to
do it. He said it, but he's not going to do it. Bro, I've been talking to this dude since 2010 about this.
You talking about racing? You ain't even the better receiver in the room.
Hey, let me tell you this, bro. He's faster. Hey, he's quicker than he is fast. Trust me, I give him that all day.
No, that's fat.
No doubt.
What?
If he took his nutrition right, he'd be in the Hall of Fame with you.
Yeah, y'all know the show is over. The show is man, over 5 minutes.
This hey, somebody get Jason Whitlock, man.
Hey, some guys are just naturally gifted at their
craft. Like, and that's me. Naturally gifted. Real. And I look good.
Good.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite your skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wooden wheel straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah, and my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.